KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
And Super Jason.
Yes.
We're here to rock you with geek stuff. Hopefully you all are having a wonderful, it's a pretty nice day out.
Yeah, it was a really nice day out.
Yeah, exceptional, in fact.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, spring and summer. And
yeah, it's
coming.
The lovely warm time of the year in California.
Yeah, watch it all like rain in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is not up. There's the rain again. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just glad it didn't rain the last couple of days since I had furniture outside.
There you go. Yeah. That's definitely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, like I said, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. And today's show, we got a pretty good one, I think. In the core, we're going to be discussing horror movies. The good, the bad, why they suck a lot of times, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and maybe how we can make them good, or maybe what makes certain ones good and all that jazz. And in the game discussion, we'll be talking about Sacred Citadel. Super Jason and Caleb had a chance to try out the trial, so they'll talk all about that. And Super Jason will mention Dark Souls as well. I know it's a slightly older game, but the sequel, gameplay and some new footage, you know, just got released, so good time to kind of bring it up and maybe catch people up to speed who don't know about it or never got a chance to get around to playing it and all that stuff. And then Caleb, I believe we have Caleb's Corner as well this week.
Yes.
What do we got for the folks?
It's actually going to be dealing with some of these science and things that have been been brought up in the wake of the Boston tragedy.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we'll bring you the news. But before we get all that, how have you gentlemen been?
Been pretty good. Week is going all right. Got a project almost wrapped up today for t-shirt design, so that was kind of nice.
Oh, nice.
Not a whole lot else going on. Playing some more BioShock the other night. That was fun. The original. Okay. The only one that I actually own.
The one, the only.
Yeah, I haven't got around to the others yet, although it's
previously only.
Previously only, yeah.
Is the t-shirt business related, personal
thing?
It is a
freelance, little freelance gig that one of the guys at church, he is the head of a elementary school chess club, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely.
Super Jason.
Well, I've been all over the place as far as my normal wanderings. I checked out a new TV show called Defiance that seems to have a little bit of buzz going about it. And part of the reason why we mentioned the Dark Souls thing is I've been pretty hooked on that also.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't figure out if it's specific to me or not, whether it's like super immersive, because I can imagine a lot of people just hating it right off the bat.
Okay. But
we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Teaser.
Sounds good. Yeah, you'll definitely want to stick around for that. Alrighty. Myself, I finished BioShock Infinite, and let's see if I've done anything else.
How now that you've completed it, what's your impressions?
I need to go. I want to go back and play it again.
Okay.
Cause like sort of now knowing like the ending and everything, going back and seeing how the pieces and everything
come
like
together.
That. Right now I would say it's kind of a hot mess.
Okay.
Like I enjoyed it, but I don't know. That's why I need to play through it again and see if what I'm thinking were flaws.
Were actually flaws,
okay. Or because like in the moment, I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a good time, but afterwards, kind of stepping back after a few days and thinking about it, it's like, you know, it didn't seem like it did as good of a job as they did in BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it is a completely different development team that did this one, correct?
No.
Oh,
it's Irrational Games.
Okay,
with Ken Levine, and it's gone through. Many stages.
Yeah. maybe that's what I'm remembering.
But I think it was delayed like 3 times. And,
Okay. So. That must be what I was remembering. Okay.
But
cool.
But yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. I can't think of anything else that's worth. I mean, I forgot to mention before that we saw Evil Dead, but I'll bring that up during the horror movies thing. Yeah. So.
Which reminds me, I actually went to go see Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I was actually pretty pleased to see my brain's just blanking on his name now. The guy
Franco.
Played, yes,
James Franco.
James Franco play somebody other than the characters that I know him mostly as, which is unfortunately
himself.
Or Norman Osborn. So I was like, yeah. And, not that he did it poorly, but it's just nice to see him do something else. And I liked a lot of it, but some of it I thought was sort of seemed odd to me that they went that direction, playing up some of the more romantic stuff. I'm like, all right, I can sort of see why they did that and where they're going with it, but other parts of it just was like, I don't understand why they did that.
Okay,
I guess he had to have been there. Because, I mean, normally a romance was, like, the go-to thing with everything, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's just I don't know, maybe it was just where I was that day, but for some reason it was just not quite, it seemed a little forced at certain points, that's all, I guess.
Was it because there wasn't really that element in the Wizard of Oz, or
yeah, maybe that's my memory of the original film. Like, I don't remember there being a relationship between these two characters. Why are they in a relationship? But it didn't necessarily detract from the enjoyment of the movie overall.
Now I'm really curious.
I think visually it's really nice, especially when they do a nice job of transitioning from the real world of Kansas into the realm of Oz really nicely, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of movies, I say we move on to the new releases of the week.
Sounds good.
I got the ones for the theater. We've got A Deeper Shade of Blue. Let's see. Errors of the Human Body. F for Forest.
From the makers of V for Vendetta.
I don't know about that.
A
but
for
yeah.
Apple.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Home Run. We got In the House.
Huh.
And probably the biggest release, Oblivion.
Yeah,
both
right.
In IMAX and regular. And and then probably second, I guess, would be... The Lords of Salem, just because it's Rob Zombie's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, sort of fits
people notice
what
him.
We're talking about. Yeah. So, totally planned that.
Yeah,
that's there's more, but you know, that's just a little splash, a little taste, right. A little sample.
There you go.
Leave them thirsty.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
that's what you're supposed to do with the radio. Leave the thirst.
Leave the thirst.
Yes.
You know, speaking of that, just real quick, that dude, you know, the Dos Equis guy is like, stay thirsty, my friends.
Yeah.
That dude, that's evil, I think. Stay thirsty? I don't like being thirsty.
That's true.
I'm, you know, I'm drinking some water. Oh, man, whew, quench my thirst. Stay thirsty, my friends. No, I'm thirsty again. Crunch said, stay thirsty, my friends. No, stop, stop.
It would be evil if he had magical powers to inflict that on people.
But he does. He's the most interesting man in the world.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Back to the Blu-rays and the DVDs.
Yes, Blu-rays and DVDs. We have A Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia. Now, let's that sit for a second. Haunting in Connecticut.
Two. Okay.
Ghosts of Georgia. And then I'm going to go into the fact that it's not an actual sequel to the original to Ghosts of Connecticut or Haunting in Connecticut. So I'm not sure.
It sounds like a typical sequel.
Yeah.
In better news, Django Unchained dropped on Blu-ray and DVD.
Watched that again last night, actually.
Oh, there you go. Then there's H.P. Lovecraft's The Dark Sleep, which is actually an adaptation of Dreams in the Witch House. So if you know the book, you might check out the movie. I don't know if it's actually any good or not. But then there's also Jacob, Unrated Director's Cut. Slash a movie about Brothers Revenge. Then Repo Man is out on Blu-ray and DVD as part of the Criterion Collection. This 80s epic is now ready for HD.
Nice.
Emilio Estevez.
You mean Estevez?
All right. Does that wrap
that,
up?
That actually wraps for the
all right. Now moving on to the video games. All right. In video game land, we've got Injustice Gods Among Us. Mm-hmm. We've got Pandora's Tower. We got Darkfall Unholy Wars. We got, get this, Victoria 2.
Oh.
Heart of Darkness. We got Soul Hackers. There's a lot more to that title, but, I'm going to give it a shot. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite the title.
God Mode. Forza Horizon dropped a 1,000 Club. I think it's free DLC or something. The DLC for Blops 2 Uprising dropped.
I hate you.
I do that specifically for Super Jason because he hates it. Also, some DLC for Dishonored dropped. Sacred Citadel dropped this week. This is the one we mentioned that Super Jason and Caleb will talk about in the game discussion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, a few others, but again, just a little taste. Stay video gamey, my friends.
Yeah, stay gamey, my friends.
Yeah,
well, I'm feeling a little gamey right now.
if Injustice Gods Among Us whetted your appetite for comics, well, tune in for Justice League number 19. Someone's trying to kill Superman. Wait, is that a plot? I'm not sure, but
that's just a day in the life.
Yeah,
it could be interesting. We'll see what happens. Nightwing number 19. Dick Grayson is still feeling the effects of Death on the Family. On the Marvel side, Age of Ultron number 6. And then also Superior Spider-Man number 8. The indie side, we've got several names you'll recognize, but since they're not the big two, they get classified as indie. Star Wars, Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin number 1. So, limited series, short story. Like your Darth Vader, check it out.
For a good amount of time, I'm going to be thinking of nothing but the Star Wars or the Darth Vader helmet with Grumpy Cat in it. For whatever reason, that meme is like completely stuck in my head.
Very good.
James Earl Jones is Grumpy Cat.
Turn, if only you knew the power of the dark side. Nope. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles villain micro series Krang number 1. The backstory about the blob from another dimension.
Nice.
Cyberforce number 4. Remember, Cyberforce 1-5 is free. So this is still number 4, so it's still free. Plume number 3. This is the collection from a rather interesting webcomic, which is very Indiana Jones meets the Old West sort of thing. So there you go. That's your comics for this week.
Nice. All right. Again, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're going to take a quick music break and then come back with the news. Gentlemen, would you like to tease some news topics?
Well, San Jose is near the core of Silicon Valley, but just how nerdy is it?
Ooh.
Fighting words. Mm-hmm. For other nerdy towns, I guess.
Sure.
we haven't had high-tech spleen news in a long time, so I'm going to bring it to you.
Spleen. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. We haven't.
Yeah.
Okay, well, for that music, want to listen to KSU? Even when you are not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And speaking of that, you know, we like when you participate on the show, and Caleb's going to tell you how you can do that.
Well, that's right. If you want to participate with us, we are actively on Facebook right now and Twitter. If you want to find us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, two words. On Twitter, we are Robots Attack Me. And if you want to email us the old-fashioned way, you can find us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just fuddled your brain, head to robotsattack.me. Everything I have described is linked from the interact button. And also you can find our past episodes and the other things that we work on as well. So check it out, robotsattack.me, robotsattackme on Twitter, and search for Robots Attack.
All right. Hopefully that wasn't confusing. Anyway, all right, let's get to the music and then come back with the news. I'm going to play a track from an artist called Ugly Winner. The song is called Other Things from the album Minutes, Years, and Never. I've never heard the song before. Hopefully it's good. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We are now on the news, and Caleb is going to start us off.
That's right. So, we're Santa Clara, right close to San Jose, and Silicon Valley, it's all around us. But exactly how geeky is San Jose? Well, recently, we took up...
Careful.
San Jose took up number 9 on a national ranking.
Number 9? Huh?
How did they rank this? I need to know. It is a requirement for my soul.
Well, clearly our show bumped it up.
No, that is true. We are the nation leader in patent applications, which should send us up higher. There's the link to the report. I'll get back to you about why we're not number why we're at number 9. But
9 out of did they do?
It's 9 out of
billion.
Out of the nation.
Oh, okay.
So
oh,
we're
so
high
roughly
up there.
$3 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right around there.
You know,
there's a lot of towns. More towns than people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we also have a lot of nerd fests. We got FurCon, FanimeCon, and the Big Whale Comic Fest. A lot of good geek fun there.
I think having FurCon should give us bam.
Well, this
winner.
Also, I don't know. Dragon Con's got some clout too.
Okay,
but
I don't know what that is. I know what FurCon is.
It's one of the bigger geek shows on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
If not the biggest, it's like that in New York City Comic Con. It's kind of like, but Dragon Con's like more like pan geek. It's fantasy, sci-fi, comics, movies, TV, furries, not furries, everything in between, video games.
Then you got PAX East.
How did I not know about this? I'm apparently officially not a geek.
That's why we only made number 9.
Yeah.
Should bump it up.
Bam,
Super Jason knows about it now.
Next year, we got this. Number 2.
There you go. Let your nerd flag fly. Be proud. And let's all make our world a little bit more nerdy.
Okay. We'll go from there to... the nerdiest spleen in the world.
It's pretty nerdy.
Maybe. And depends on how you classify these things. But, well, they Well, okay. Organs, generally, there's not much that we can do besides, like, slap another organ in somebody if something goes wrong. I mean, there's some heart things that kind of fix stuff, but mostly we're not cyborgs yet.
Not yet.
But we've just come a step closer with research into spleen on a chip technology. It uses magnetic nanobeads to filter blood of pathogens. So, if you would have ever guessed that we'd have microchips doing stuff like that, you'd probably be at Harvard where
they
created this.
Yeah. Wow. Huh.
Microchips with magnetic nanobeads.
Yeah, it's hard to get an idea of it because the picture that they have of it is pretty big and blocky, and I can't really imagine it inside somebody, like maybe as a backpack or something like that.
Oh man, when you mentioned beads, my mind totally went to, you know, in New Orleans and Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
But like now, I'll switch it to
like the nanoscale.
Yeah, come on.
I got your nano beads for you.
Do some nano-y stuff. Woo! Yeah. Here's some beads.
I'm doing nano stuff right now. Give me my beads.
Whoa, look at that. Look at that one. It's got a lot of beads on it. It's working really hard.
Yeah, that's true. I'd assume there's quite a few.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
This is the hardest working beads in Harvard.
And of course, all of our stories we link to on our Facebook page, so you can go and read them and check them out and all that jazz.
Check it out for yourself.
So, is it my turn now?
Yes.
Okay, well...
Hurry.
Obviously, I assume the Girl Scouts, we're fans, the Girl Scouts are cool, right? Super Jason says yes.
Yes.
We like video games, obviously. We like video games. Well... Imagine the two combining. That's right. Huh. This story.
I can't eat cookies that way.
The nanobeads will make it.
That's true. That's true.
There you go. This story out of Polygon. It's Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles introducing a video game design patch.
Huh.
The Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles have teamed up with Women in Games International to create a new patch at Scouts. Can earn for designing video games, according to a report in Girl Gamer. Girl Scouts can use E-Line's GameStar mechanic software that allows you to design video games to earn the badge. The developer will work with Women in Games International, an organization that works to promote the inclusion and advancement of women in the global games industry, to create a program that meets Girl Scout patch requirements while also focusing on the STEM academic initiative, that's science, technology, engineering, and math. Quote, our ultimate goal is to create a STEM-aligned video game badge for the Girl Scouts of the United States of America, said Amy Allison, Women in Games International's vice president. Creating this badge will get young girls excited in technology and science and let them know that they, too, can have a career in the video game industry. Apparently, in early March, the Boy Scouts of America revealed a similar merit badge program as well. This is, I think, very awesome.
Yes. I was going to say, take that, Boy Scouts, but...
I know, I was thinking that at first, too, when I was glancing at the store. Like, man, the Girl Scouts are getting everything. They got the cookies, now they're getting the video games.
Yeah.
Boy Scouts got, like, those, the like, wooden cars.
The pine block cars
that you put up on a hill and...
Mm-hmm.
You can develop a video game to replace that. which involves cheating by putting too much weight on them.
Oh, wow.
If you did that.
No.
don't
never
cheat.
Did that.
We don't endorse
never.
Cheating here.
No.
There were no secret pockets for weights on my car.
I think the one design that I remember for Pine Block that was really creative was someone carved it looked like a giant whale, and for moving it up and down through the weight classes for the different races, they would exchange a large bolt on top of the whale's head, like the spout of water.
Okay.
Huh.
It looked really cool. It didn't win for speed, but it sure looked good while doing it. So, I was impressed. So from
nice. Well, before you get
before
to
I
yours,
go. Yes.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
Oh, yeah.
But have limited time to volunteer?
Yes,
sometimes.
Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Cool deal. So you mentioned merit badges for video gaming.
Yes.
Well, it's not quite the same, but I want to give kudos to the folks at DICE because they recently put out a statement saying that while there is a certain push towards motion gaming or gimmick gaming, as some of them, as this producer stated it, he said the DICE team is going to focus on gameplay. And if they encounter one of these more interesting technologies that will enhance their gameplay, they'll consider it. But for now, you cannot push money at them to make them add your weird feature to the game. So, yeah, just kind of kudos to someone who's focused on their goal, their mission, which is to make good Battlefield games. Good on ya.
For the PC,
they're not bad for the consoles, but yeah, they're kind
of. Well, I'm just saying it'll probably edge them slightly out on the console stuff, which are slightly more gimmicky. That's all I was going for.
Ah, okay,
yeah,
because PC is so not gimmicky,
not yet. So, what do you got first, Jason?
Actually, I'll save mine for last since I have a robot story, if that's cool.
Sure. Okay, then I will move on to mine.
All right.
I assume we're Star Wars fans here.
Yes.
Yeah,
very much so.
We're hoping that in 2015, Episode 7...
Yes.
I had a brain fart there for a second. is good. I mean, you know, we're hoping that...
In general, yes.
You know, J.J. Abrams and everyone, all the collective group working together can make a solid film. Well, this story out of IGN, new Star Wars movies will hit every summer beginning in 2015. New trilogy will alternate with standalone films. At the CinemaCon event in Las Vegas a few days ago, Disney and Lucasfilm revealed that beginning in 2015 with Star Wars Episode 7, a new film set in the galaxy created by George Lucas will be released each summer. J.J. Abrams' Episode 7 will come first in the summer of 2015 and will be followed every summer after that with another new Star Wars movie, alternating between the standalone films and the new trilogy. So, you know, there's been some rumors already about a Yoda flick or a young Han Solo and even a sort of Seven Samurai type Jedi film. So
that could be kind of fun.
If you've been waiting for a lot of Star Wars, it's coming in a couple of years, so.
Sweet.
And on that note,
yes.
Like, definitely, if you can, if you want to, search on the internet for a Patton Oswalt
yes.
Parks and Rec
yes.
outtake. That was quite awesome.
Yeah. Totally awesome.
Perfectly illustrates why Parks and Rec is so awesome. They allow stuff like that in their show.
Yeah.
Holds the time, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many layers of geek in that. Like, more than we can cover right now.
Without watching the video over again.
Right.
Yeah.
Live on air.
Yeah.
Anyway, robot story. We're going to do UAVs. Again.
UAVs, okay.
I mean, they're robotic.
Mm-hmm.
They've become so saturated, I'm tempted to take them out of the robotic stance just because I don't want to oversaturate our listeners with UAVs. But
that's
maybe
your point.
For a little while, this will be the last one because, well, we've all gotten used to the sort of iconic idea of a weather balloon being used for weather.
Uh-huh. Wait,
and,
what?
And for being like UFO hoaxes.
Yes.
But researchers at University of Virginia are trying to push things a different direction. They're using UAVs to do basically the same thing. They're doing a slight twist on it. Instead of the normal copter or airplane, or now more prevalent quadcopter, they're going for a hexcopter.
Oh!
Hexcopter.
Hexcopter.
This summer, in a world
that needs weather balloons
and hexcopters.
Right.
One hexcopter stands alone.
Yeah, when the tricopter just wasn't enough.
Right.
I can't do it anymore, Sarge. I can't do it anymore.
We've got to double it.
We need more. We need more copter.
Hexcopter.
Anyway, completely oversold that story. But we'll take it a little bit farther with this thing was made to go about 30 meters into the boundary layer of the atmosphere. We'll take your precise sensor readings. But the main thing that's nice about it versus the weather balloon is that it's a lot speedier to deliver out someplace, fly it up where you need it. Bam,
it
bam, bam. Mm. You got your data.
More data, easier to retrieve. That's pretty awesome.
That's what everything's all about right now, is getting the data faster. Mm-hmm. So this is the broadband of weather balloons.
Atmospheric.
Mm,
yes.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
I think I definitely want to get my information fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's useful.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Was that commercial? And the guy asked, like, little kids or something, like, you know, faster, slower, faster.
Oh, I
faster
love those commercials so much. I love the werewolf, the one the best, but I digress.
So, does that wrap up our news?
I think that wraps the news for me. Just
yeah. Like, yep, I'm done.
Yeah. All right.
How can you beat that? Hexcopter.
I know. Hexcopter. Yeah. That's how you drop the mic on the news portion of Robots Attack. There you go. For those out there, you were listening in your car.
You didn't just hit a bump. It was something else.
That was the mic drop.
Wait, I've got to get my mic back.
Go get it. You dropped it. Now you gotta pick it up.
It's too far down.
Get the
Get the hex chopper. Hexcopter
to get it for you.
It doesn't have hands.
Oh, that'll be the next one. Attach a claw thing to it and everything. Anyway, that's been the news portion of Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We're gonna take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. Caleb, would you like to tease the folks again, just in case they're tuning in now?
It's going to be looking into a little bit of the science that is helping unravel the events of the Boston tragedy.
Okay.
All righty. You're going to want to stick around for that. We'll take that music break. We're going to play a track from the artist Atlas Genius. The song is called If So, from the album When It Was Now. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
That's right. This is Caleb's Corner, my part of Robots Attack, where I espouse opinions, thoughts, or things I find interesting, and they do not... Oh, man, I got a nosebleed. Maybe if you guys... I'm going to take over for a sec. Sorry.
Sure. That sucks. Caleb's Corner is striking back. No, you will not talk about what you want to talk about. I'm going to give you a nosebleed. No. I know.
I think that's a first for us. We have yet to be in this. This is the first time we've been interrupted by way of nosebleed, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should celebrate somehow.
Usually, it's like ninja attacks or.
That is true.
Or
Guillermo del Toro just saying awkward things.
Just
to
popping
us.
Up. Hey guys.
Right.
Want to see my movie? Pacific
He's
Rim.
He's always doing that, and it feels...
Yeah.
It's so awkward. I mean, we know you're going through like a little bit of hard time getting people to see your movies. We know you're not that popular. But come on, man.
I made the movies. Hellboy movies.
We have our own lives. I mean...
Guys, come on. Pacific Rim, guys. It's got the Sons of Anarchy in it, guy.
Okay. I'll probably see that one, especially after Michael Bay did a crack about rip-off robot movies that made me angry. But
yeah. I'll probably end up seeing that as well, because, I mean, you can't really go wrong with giant creatures and, you know, robots fighting those giant creatures. And
yeah, it sounds really cool to me.
Yeah. So yes, we are back to Caleb's Corner.
Yes. Okay. Like nothing ever happened.
So ignore the scratching sound on the microphone.
Alrighty, so... I'm going to start this off with a quote that has been attributed to Mr. Fred Rogers.
Okay.
It says, when I was a boy and I would see scary things on the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. And in light, and this is this, I found some of these quotes passed around in light of the bombings at the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And these are tragic, and our hearts go out to all the people who have been affected.
But like everything, the helpers are doing an amazing job, and it's really spectacular to see like some of the stuff. Another person ended up tweeting something that I saw that I thought was absolutely perfect. Like America is. I'm probably going to butcher this, but America is people finishing the marathon and running directly to emergency rooms to donate blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's one of the stories I found was a New Yorker where the writer of the article just kind of like went over how much the people have helped, like, and the there's all the people that are on the scene, and like. It went from a scene of celebration to a scene of tragedy, and then into like a nearly instant field hospital. Like, everyone just like snapped to, and there was 117 people hurt by the bombs, and of the non-fatal wounds, it looks like all of them are going to actually survive. And this is which is really cool. And this is kind of unusual because usually bombs, this type of attack leaves people with a lot of
complications. Cropping up. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you. And but because everyone, civilians and emergency staff, everyone just like popped right into it, and people that were. You know, and it's like almost like everybody kind of like had just synced up, like all emergency crews, like people like just started coming in to volunteer, even though just because they knew, like they saw the news, something happened. All right, quick, need to get to my post at this hospital. You know, prep the surgery rooms for this type of injury. You know, people just did a lot of things that were smart that are. That showed that we've learned from the events that have, from September 11th, we've learned how to respond to moments of crisis more readily than we have in the past. And, people doing good. And along with that, science is also doing its part to help with that. And they are, and scientists have been analyzing the explosives, and they believe that they can, they've now like shortened the amount of time it takes to figure out like where it came from, who did it, and why, and so they can make arrests or put out APBs on people. I think they just this morning I saw a news article saying that they think they've identified two suspects.
Yeah.
So
they released images of them and stuff. And
So it's everyone's pulling together to try and help everybody else, and I think that's sort of awesome, especially in times of tragedy like this. So
That's that, and that science is also involved. It's like two things I believe in: science and humanity. It's like together working together to make a and to bring closure to this event. I think is really cool. So there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're going to take another music break. I'm going to play a track from the band Northern Sun. It is called, hopefully I can read my writing, Love Will Find a Way, from the EP Spin. And then we'll be back with a game discussion where we're going to discuss Sacred Citadel, dropped on the arcade this weekend, and Super Jason's going to talk about Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to stick around for that. All right, we are Robots Attack. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack.
More.
Well, if you want to get more of that track from Depeche Mode, Soft Touch, Raw Nerve, from Delta Machine, the brand new one from Depeche Mode, you can go out and get that album.
There you go. I thought you were joking when you said new from Depeche Mode.
No.
Legitimate.
Legitimate mode of Depeche.
Mm.
And new.
And new. Mm. All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're going to now discuss some games. I'm going to turn it over to Super Jason and Caleb. They're going to discuss Sacred Citadel.
Yeah, the game and, of course, the demo dropped on the Xbox, and we tested it out. I have to say right off, like, big criticism for the game.
Huh.
It's like a multiplayer, like, hack and slash game. That seems to be what it's really going for. And, like, visions of old arcade games like the X-Men game and Ninja Turtles and The Simpsons. Yeah. It like instantly makes you feel like, okay, well, this is going to be like a kind of more artsy style of that with kind of an interesting character style with like sort of mixing Mayan, Native American, and magical things and whatnot, which it does very well, but they make a demo for that, and you're all excited, like, okay, I'm going to be able to try this thing out with my friend and see if we want to be able to play this all the time. And they don't have multiplayer on the demo.
Yeah.
It seemed just really weird to me.
Mm. I wonder if it's local multiplayer.
Well, I didn't see that illuminated either. Anyway. So we'll go past that and just jump into the game itself. And I'll let Caleb start from here.
Okay.
Because it sounds like we have slightly different notions on it. So
yeah, I picked up, and the art style is really cool. I played the shaman character, and I don't know if it was that character or just the pacing of the game did not quite hit me right. Because Castle Crashers is a similar style game, and it's like all like...
In a lot of ways, yeah.
In a lot of ways, got a lot, you know, things going everywhere. Like, and yeah, the enemies don't hit back very much because like your hero is a superstar, and so you're taking things out. But
Superstar!
But I don't know, I felt like the combat was very unsatisfying. Like I'm just pressing X repeatedly, and they don't hit back at all. They don't stop me from hitting them.
Huh.
And it's just like swoop swoop, and like the animations weren't very interesting. It's like doo 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 doo.
Did you notice? Was there a difficult setting that you could adjust, or
maybe
you...
I need to go look for a difficulty setting, because I did not feel challenged at all by the game, and I wasn't having fun. Like I don't mind like simplified bashers, like Castle Crashers was a heck of fun. I wasted so much money on the Ninja Turtles when it was, and X-Men when they were out in the arcades.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason this one, I don't know, I think it has to do with the pacing. Like the animations felt a little bit slower.
Okay.
And the enemies seemed like they kind of walked up to you and stood there for like a moment before they actually started hitting you. So I was like,
hey, 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 I'm here. Hey,
like, all right,
what I'll, you gonna do with that? Oh, you hitting me? Oh,
right,
oh
right.
Yeah.
We're just invading this town. We're just wiping out the entire population.
Let me strike back. Oh, hey, right. I forgot about it.
Expecting people with swords.
Whoa.
In medieval times.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, you know, that was not to say that it's bad. It just, I was not impressed.
Okay.
Okay.
none of that happened to me. Wow, they beat the tar out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you also change any difficult setting or adjust anything?
I didn't mess with anything.
Okay.
It happens like this in video games pretty often. And I wondered also if it might have something to do with that character, because in my view, I tried out all the different characters and they all have some slight variations on their themes and whatnot.
Right.
And that one seemed like the weakest, at least at the beginning. I'm sure like more abilities pop up and whatnot.
Right.
Because yours was one of the magic users, and its magic ability was pretty watered down, like at the beginning. So, and it took a long time to do anything good with. Like, it's a power up thing that shoots a vine out and like grabs people.
Okay, I never actually got that to pull off. So maybe that's the thing.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, because it's just like a little, a little pop of the wand or something like that. If you don't like actually charge it up, and I learned that just because I played through the first time, not completely through, but I played with the mage character, and it's kind of more of the priestess looking character,
right?
And she also had that sort of feel to her. But the game definitely concentrates a lot more on melee than
magic.
Right. And so it makes the magic users a little bit odd at the beginning. Just because that's not their specialization, but they have to do that at the beginning because it's really all they have. So it ended up pretty interesting to me, but yeah, it...
Before you get to perhaps another example of a character or something, I'm going to tell the folks about the SVACA's Adopt-A-Thon. Adopt your new best friend at SVACA's 7th annual Adopt-A-Thon on Saturday, May 4th. Can't believe that's actually coming up fairly soon. Man, man. Iron Man 3.
Yeah, May 3rd.
Yeah. From 11 to 3 p.m. Admission is free. To this family-friendly event, meet and adopt animals from SVACA's rescue partners, and at 1 p.m., a free dog training demonstration by DJ's Clever Canines is available for all to attend. For more information, call 408-764-0344.
Sweet.
Okay, so...
you have... We've mentioned the mage. Uh-huh. We've mentioned the...
The shaman.
The shaman. And then there's also a
walking to a bar, a tavern.
Well, actually, yes, that's exactly how it starts.
Four adventurers sitting in a bar after their latest grand adventure.
Right,
almost in that voice too. It's
yeah, sort of. Well, it also has like the straightforward melee character, which, since that's how it starts, like really emphasizing that, almost seems broken to me because. Right. Like, there's a main melee, which is whatever dual weapons you pick up along the way through the game, which you can swap them out and get more interesting stuff with different energy effects and stuff like that, and a lot like Castle Crashers.
Right.
And, but the main thing that's kind of neat about this one is that it's dual weapons, so you can possibly have two different energy effects going off, which is kind of neat. But there's also, like, the special thing, which with the magical classes is some sort of magical thing, usually like a charge-up type of thing. Where it gets really complicated and interesting is the combos, because the combos chain together the stuff like that. And so it starts out with melee, like, flurry to kind of stun the guys, and then you hit them with some sort of magical thing that ends up, like, knocking them across the screen or whatnot, so you're not in nearly as much of a threat from the things that were killing me like crazy. But the solid, like, nothing but melee guy, he has just this gigantic battle hammer as his second thing, which, yeah, it everything that it hits, it does that sort of knockback and stun effect.
Okay.
And so with the other ones, you had to work to get that combo, and he has it right off the bat, and there's no incentive to use the regular weapons at all, as far as I can tell. And I'm sure it changes a lot as you go through the game, too, because the first time I actually went up against a real boss in that game, it was super, super hard, even with that melee guy. I still don't know how to do it effectively. But anyway...
So did you play through the whole trial? Like
I didn't find the end of it, so it's a sizable trial, as far as I can tell.
Caleb, did you...
No, I actually... Because I was getting bored, I stopped playing.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it makes sense for. But the final one, I think you'd actually dig the most, because it was an archer type of guy. So he, of course, still has the melee thing, and he was very hacky slashy, and still has like build up to a stun move, which is with him different because it is just a normal slash move. It's just a timing thing.
I got bows and arrows, lady.
Right. But but the archer is really cool because he like fires super fast, like gauntlet style, like poing, 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 poing.
Right.
And so it ends up being a nice combo, not because he does cool things with the bow that I saw, just because you can follow up by like knocking things around with your bow as soon as you get done with a combo with your melee stuff.
Okay.
So you can be shooting across the screen and knocking, like whittling things down from a much better distance than the other things, which would be the magic users, which you'd have to charge up to use effectively.
Right.
He
right.
just lets loose. And it's not a ton of damage, but everything in this game is upgradable and build upable and every able that you can think of. Like, they have combinations of using crystals to make things better, and you just having upgraded weapons and having armor that makes things better and potions that make you better. And yeah, I can't imagine once you have everything buffed up how crazy your character would be.
You hit level 20, get epic level.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. But the one thing that I thought was the most interesting, after saying all of that, is that they added dodge moves to it. That everybody has them. Some of them look really lame, to be honest. The mage one looks super lame. Like, it's like she's doing... like flag football, the little spin thing, except she manages to go halfway across the screen when she does it.
Okay.
She's just like, woo! And flies halfway across the screen. Nobody can touch her. Like, the archer guy, he's cooler. He does, like, a little combat roll thing that you're used to from Mass Effect or whatnot. And anyway, so all the other ones much cooler. But it ends up being really nice once you have a ton of guys coming at you, because you can get through them and do a little dodgy thing that you can get behind them real easy. And as far as I can tell, for the boss fights, it's a requirement to use it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The dodge was one of the features I actually did like amongst my...
So far, the main thing that's different about it seems to be multi-weapon combat and dodging. Other than that, it's pretty much your normal hack-and-slash video game.
Mm.
Or at least at this point, with all the buffs that everything has right now and so on.
Yeah.
So after hearing Super Jason, do you think you'll go back and try some of the other characters?
I might go back and try the Archer for see what it's like. Because... like, yeah, the shaman, like, oh, cool, a shaman. They kind of, like, you know, somewhere between combat and the magic, and usually fairly fast, which is I like for that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, this would be fun. And then, like, this is not challenging, and it's not even fun while being not challenging. It's like, I don't mind it being, like, not super challenging if I'm having fun, but I was just like, I am not enjoying this at all.
Yeah, that character didn't do it for me either. Because I just remembered, like, it's magic move if you don't charge it up. It's like a little fart blast. And it's like she does a weird little kick thing that does the fart blast. And it's just, It's weird.
Yeah.
She's carrying like a giant battle drum, which makes it look like she should be some sort of bard or something like that, which could have been more interesting. Or maybe it goes that way eventually.
Yeah, or like boom, like thunder happens or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just, the design of the game is very cool. It's one of its probably its strongest suits.
The art is very
nice. From what I experienced of it.
Can you compare it to anything? Or
The character design, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think it's the lead artist from the Pathfinder RPG series.
Yeah, I could see that.
So yeah, it's real
it's
sharp
style.
Character design, but he took it more towards sort of a comic-y fashion, not like American comic-y, but more of, I don't know how, more of a tweak on it, like bigger jaw lines and stuff like that, instead of looking completely realistic.
It's a stylized realism. It's actually kind of cool. And the characters are in 3D, so they actually have a little more dimension as they move around the screen. It's more obvious, like, when you're in the right plane to actually hit the enemy, which is kind of nice. Mm. It's one of the things that I found frustrating about Castle Crashers every so often is, like, I keep trying to hit that guy. Oh, I'm just
right.
that like,
when you're stacking pieces of paper, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's just that one hair up too far. Okay, so, yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Overall, it's solid. I'll give it another try. See if one of the other characters is more interesting for me.
Yeah, maybe try that archer that Super Jason suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's been the discussion for Sacred Citadel on the arcade and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, probably even the PSN network got it as well, maybe. I don't.
Most likely. I don't think it was a Microsoft game, so yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to throw out some Dark Souls for the folks?
Yeah, okay. This game, I'd heard a little bit about it, and some of the ideas behind it caught me. Like, I basically just heard that it was really tough, and a lot of people in different comics that I read and whatnot gave it props for not caring about you. It is what it is. It's not going to try and be any friendlier for you or anything like that. And that sounded kind of neat to me. I think I've mentioned in a lot of the other game or stuff that we've talked about that I like upping the difficulty on things so that, like, one slash will kill you in Dead Space and whatnot. It adds a lot more realism to me. This game, yeah, it went for that whole hog, and it throws you into these completely insane situations where any other game it would be like, oh, well, you're the most awesome creature ever awesomed in the land of awesome.
Yeah.
And so,
you are the chosen one, the hero.
Right. You're supposed to smite everything in your path.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you try and do that at the very beginning of this game, you will not go anyplace. So it's really interesting as far as that goes, just having something that's like, yeah, you're not the best guy in the world. It literally starts you off with a broken sword and nothing else.
Huh.
And you have to take on something really big with a broken sword.
Wow.
So yeah, it leaves it to you to figure out how to go about that. And that's what I kind of like about it, too, is that it makes you think about how you're going to survive this. And you go through the game, and you realize as you're figuring out all of these little things that it's not explaining to you at all, like how leveling works and so on.
Okay.
You're realizing that it's even tougher than you thought it was at the beginning, and it was already tough.
Okay.
And so, yeah, leveling your character, you have to be really conscientious of your every move and how much you endanger yourself, because you could, at any point, lose a lot of what could possibly level your character up.
Uh-huh. That aspect of the game, or would you prefer their
I love it.
Okay.
I can't See, that's the thing, though. I can imagine a lot of people just being like, why would I play this? Why? what's the point? And
it's Code Veronica all over again.
Yeah, actually. And that's one of the games that was so tough, I just gave up on it at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have gone through it now, but my copy of it was back on the Dreamcast, so going back to that system is difficult for me to do.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, it's where I guess we're going with this is they released footage of the new game that's coming out. They haven't said when, and they're not even trying to give like a year yet. I don't think they're trying to say that. Okay, we're just trying to nail it down, get it absolutely perfect like we want it.
Yeah,
and so on. And
I mean, I believe it's next gen. Right. Almost guaranteed. So.
Well, it was really interesting because what I ended up seeing was an interview from IGN that was talking to the lead designer of the game. And it is interesting hearing him basically say, yeah, this is completely our intention. We do not really want to make the next game to be friendlier. We're making this just the way it is, and if you like it, you like it. We're not going to change it for you. The one conceit was that they tried to make the HUD more easy to use and understandable, which I thought was a wise idea. But at the same time, it completely builds into this thing that you feel like you... Well, okay. And the thing that he said in that interview that crystallized the entire idea of the game to me that I hadn't thought of myself is it's so hard. Like, it's such an undertaking doing all this stuff. You feel like you accomplished something just doing any given thing. And that's what they want that feeling to be in this entire game.
Right on.
Okay. Yeah. Because
you worked for it.
Yeah. Because I mean that seemed to be the biggest thing that was always stressed was like, yeah, this is not. It's not holding your hand. It's,
right.
You know, little hint menu things aren't going to pop up and be like,
there's no little fairy like you can do it. If anything, it's discouraging.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, you're thrown in the world. Bam, here you go. Like,
yeah, and I have to give them props, too, because I don't know much about the game that kind of spawned this one, the Demon Souls. But I think it's really interesting. They came up with a new idea of how, like, the world creation myth and whatnot. And it leads to some sort of interesting ideas on how gameplay is affected, too. Just because it comes up with the idea that the world was started out as basically just darkness and cold. And it was populated by dragons and trees and rock. And even the trees were basically just spires of rock reaching into the sky. And what changed everything was volcanoes started popping up, bringing fire to everything. And that brought life, which brought new creatures that challenged the dragons and eventually wiped them out. And so the world, as it sits right now, is the world of fire. But it brings an interesting twist to it is that everything that's living is based on that fire. And where it ends up interesting for your character in Dark Souls is you're undead, but the fact that you're alive and able to do stuff is based on your ability to deal with fire, which is kind of the exact opposite of everything else that has fire with zombies and whatnot. Usually fire bad.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's the idea that, well, undead, it, just like a living thing, is the ability to capture the warmth and use it to sustain yourself.
Okay.
And so the healing thing in this, it's literally a jade flask that you are able to store fire energy from these bonfires you light through the game.
Oh, okay.
And so that's your only form of health, and you cannot use it in the middle of a battle because it takes time to let the firelight course through you.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're trying to do it in the middle of a sword fight, you're going to get butchered. But the neat thing about it, too, is effectively the entire thing is in an undead world. And so you dying isn't a big deal because your current state is that you can be resummoned at these bonfires.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a big deal, but you also lose everything if you die. So
okay.
That's where it gets difficult.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple other questions for you, but before I get to that,
go for it.
Read this PSA about ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KSCU has got you covered. Just listen in, and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to kscu.org and click on promotions. All right. We are Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We're in the game discussion talking about Dark Souls with Super Jason, who's the only one who's played it out of us.
Yeah.
Couple questions before we wrap it up.
Okay.
Obviously, Caleb, if you have any questions, please
definitely
jump in. I noticed there were some classes, for lack of a better word. I don't know if those were like to choose from a bunch of different ones.
Right.
What did you end up going
I ended
with?
Up doing a Wanderer, and I didn't... It ends up being really interesting imagining how all of the different classes would kind of change the game, just because it's more than just classes. It also depends on what race you use, kind of depending on what sorts of weapons you start with, too.
Okay.
And so, yeah, like, there, it's a Japanese game, so a lot of the characterizations of other races can end up becoming sort of like, I don't know.
Insensitive?
Not the most sensitive that there is. But the sort of African culture that they have, it didn't sound all that interesting to me until I came across one, like when I was going through the battles or when I was like searching through the world. Because they have a completely different type of armor that looks so cool, just because it's hard to explain. It's like if you had all of your armor built around the idea that everything needed to be either tubular or onion-shaped. And I know that sounds like it would be an abomination, but it looks really cool.
Okay.
Well, things that well-designed, it looks awesome.
Right, yeah. So it makes me wonder, like, okay, well, obviously it would have been really interesting having that race with a class that started out with armor, because you start out with the basic kind of interesting armor and whatnot.
Okay.
And decent weapons. But that's the other thing in this game. Like, definitely try weapons, because you do not know until you've actually tried it what will click with you.
Okay.
I would have never guessed in 1,000 years that a battle axe would be my favorite weapon of all time. But because they all behave differently as far as their timing, how much damage they do and whatnot, the battle axe sort of becomes the shotgun of this reality.
Okay.
I can actually sort of see that.
Yeah, because it's close, it's dirty. If you miss with it, you've lost way more than with a normal like thing with 1,000 rounds or whatnot.
Right.
Okay. And it's sort of that same idea. Like, normal swords are much more hack and slashy, but they don't do as much damage per slash. But if you can land your perfect hit with an axe, you can take out things so much easier.
That makes sense. The axe.
Very interesting.
Did you have any questions, or
because
I got one last one, but if you have anything else before,
so like the HUD system, is it how does that compare to like the like Mass Effect and then like say Dead Space, which is kind of like the two extremes in terms of HUDs, in my opinion,
it's nowhere near either of them really. It's really basic from one standpoint. Everything is based on the D-pad. and it shows it as the D-pad. It's not like Gears or something else where it kind of teases you, like you bring up the menu and then you select as the D-pad. It's just straight up, it's one thing on the left, one thing on the right as an item, and you change between them with the D-pad. You can bring up a menu, like classic RPG style, and sort of customize what's on those.
Right.
But items are just shuffling through things by pressing down, for instance.
Okay.
And if you have a couple of shields that you have sort of quick equipped, you shuffle through them by doing sideways to the left. And same with weapons.
Okay.
It's sideways to the right. I haven't gotten too far because it is tough. But there's another class of thing that's the upward direction that I don't know how to use yet. I don't know if it's a magic-based thing or what. And that's the other thing. I can't even imagine like how different this game would be using magic.
Magic.
So.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, my final question, since you're kind of familiar with our play styles, our game styles, the things that we like, would you recommend this game to Caleb or myself, or do you think it just wouldn't fit our style?
You know what? I think there's a 99% chance you guys won't dig it, but I think
it's worth a try.
It's it's so worth at least seeing if you are. I think the entire world should at least try this game, and like not give it, like, 3 seconds or whatnot. Like, give put it some an, effort into
give,
it,
give it an
and
afternoon
see how
least.
You feel after you've gotten past something big.
Okay.
That's where it comes from, is once you feel that's where the game is at.
Okay. Because it sounds a little bit like, in some ways, like Lost Planet, where it's, like, getting past it all, once you figure out how to use the suits and your own guns to get around the level, it makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that comparison. Makes sense.
Alrighty, cool. Well, that's been the game discussion for Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're going to take a quick music break and then come back with the core, where we're going to discuss horror movies and why a lot of them stink, in my opinion, and maybe it's good, how we can make them better, or all that jazz.
Building better horror.
Yeah. Because, you know, we've had recent horror movies come out and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's totally why we decided to do that topic.
Totally. Yeah.
Totally not because Jen isn't here and she
doesn't
like
scared to death of
horror movies. So, alrighty. Get to that music break and then come back with the core.
Sounds great.
We Let's are Robots Attack.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We are now in the core. Before we get to our core topic, I'll read our final PSA. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. Alrighty, we are now in the core of Robots Attack. We're going to discuss horror movies, how we can make them better, keep them the same. Are they good? Are they bad? Nothing really specific, just kind of a general little doodad. And before I get to that, I do want to clarify something from the game discussion. We talked about Dark Souls. Apparently, looking up a little bit more, Dark Souls 2 will be coming to 360 and PS3, according to a few sites. So, you know, doesn't look like it's just going to be next gen, but those are probably going to be the better versions. But hey, you know, you'll make, why not make some extra money for the companies? Figure that if we can put them on there, why not?
So,
and and then it looked like also the first game we talked about, Sacred Citadel, wasn't just a you know, arcade only thing. I saw a PC listing and stuff like that. So
yeah, I saw that it got listed on Steam. So it's on pretty much anything that can run Steam, and then whatever gaming platform you're on. So
yeah. So also, like we mentioned before during the show, we love it when you participate.
Yes.
Since we're in the core, Clib's going to tell you how you can do that.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. And if you want to find us on email, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just wanted one place, all of it there, go to robotsattack.me. If you want links to our Facebook and Twitter page, hit the interact button. Otherwise, enjoy, peruse. We have archive episodes and other things that we're working on there too. Please participate. It's better when you do.
Yes, makes a better show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, gentlemen, horror movies. What?
Yes.
Why do they stink so much? I mean, again, this is just my personal opinion, but I don't know. I'm just like, I'm constantly disappointed with horror movies lately. I don't know what it is. If it's just,
I think it depends on what you're looking for from the horror movie, and you have really high standards for movies in general. And,
it's true.
I think a lot of people look at horror movies as just kind of a cheap thrill, like what can spook me, and just as long as it does that, it's just fine.
Uh-huh.
And I will be honest, I fall under that category pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still see the difference between something that is not just a horror movie, but is a good movie on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that is a much rarer creature, it seems like.
I suspect one of the reasons why horror films tend to be, well, lackluster, for lack of a better term, is partly because most of them are done on a budget that is just a bit above a shoestring, if that. I mean, most horror movies are kind of the
reality TV.
Almost, like, you know, like, because like the usually they don't require a lot of sets, like, you know, a decently well done ghost story can be shot in a beach house on a weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, and then it becomes the execution of how well did you make that ghost, how creepy was it, and whatnot. But it seems like the ones that really, really shine the most are the ones that figure out how to get you connected to the characters and make you feel a lot about the characters. And that's tricky stuff, because you're going to kill these characters.
and sometimes, like, it's not even so much the characters, but just getting invested in the world, believing that this world could exist.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, oh, no, it's okay. But yeah, I think going back to the characters thing, I mean, that's like kind of the biggest thing for me. It's like, if I don't care about these people, then like, there's no suspense for me. I mean, it's like, okay, here's a way they're going to die. Like, whoop-de-doo. All right, who's the next
final
one?
Destination. Oh, great.
It's like, I mean,
Final Destination 15, effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where that one was like the first one, they sort of had their own kind of clever little hook, so they could kind of get away with certain things. But, you know, when sequel, then it's kind of like, okay, what's happening next? Oh, that fell, and then this is... But anyway, sort of the examples, it was like, we recently watched The Descent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, I thought that was handled really well. Like, it didn't jump to the horror and suspense stuff right away. Like, it slowly built to it. You got to know all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happened, it was like, holy crap, like, what's going to happen? Who's, you know, you, even if you didn't really like all the characters, you still, like, got a feel for them.
It's an emotional roller coaster, that one. That's what I think I like the most about it. You get attached to characters, and when they do something wrong or whatever, you end up conflicted. Like, you end up feeling like, oh, well, that character totally deserves to die now, or like, oh, man, character totally deserves to die now.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, at least for me, the new Evil Dead was like the exact opposite. I didn't really care like about any of these people. Like,
yeah.
It's not that I wanted them to die, but it was just like
they just sort of existed.
Like, yeah, they didn't really
they put
build
the most
anything.
Effort into making you care about the brother and sister in that one. And it was pretty miss on hit or miss.
Yeah. I thought the brother was pretty lame. The Jesus dude was, to me, like, the most interesting guy.
Yeah. White Jesus.
White Jesus, that's right.
I actually ended up loving that character because he was both the MVP and the worst character at the same time in that movie. It was like he created all the problems and solved most of the problems.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't ruin too much about him, but
I won't try. Yeah, we'll try not to spoil anything. But I just became like watching it. I was just kind of like bored. Like,
okay.
And I'll go back to the original. Again, is not this like snooty highbrow like well made film either, but it has like the cheesy sort of classic feel to it. So again, it's not the greatest, but
you're able to cast it in that light, because you know where it came from, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Whereas in this one, for me at least, it was just like I just was kind of bored. It was just okay, that's a neat little nod, but like,
well, like how does the new Evil Dead compare to say like Cabin in the Woods, which is sort of, I mean, I realize that they're kind of different in what in their intention and their goals, but like did you feel differently about Cabin in the Woods in comparison? Or
I'd rank them about the same as far as their depth, which isn't saying much, but but they both do kind of well in their own niche, in my view.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard because, again, like, I don't want to give stuff away, but it's like, because of the premise and setup behind it, whatever its faults, speaking of Cabin in the Woods, like, it sort of, like, fits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, again, because I don't want to spoil stuff for it, but it like you see it and you go, oh, okay. I mean, again, I thought it had an extremely lame ending and it was okay. It had moments. I guess I would say I liked it better than the new Evil Dead, but yeah, I can't really, for me, the better example is Descent and Evil Dead versus of here's
good,
excellent character development, or at the very least, maybe excellent is too big, but some solid actual character development instead of just like 15 minutes in, monsters. Everybody dies or something,
Right.
It's like, so
all right.
Like what's an example for you? Is a good one.
It's one of my favorites in terms of quality, but least favorite because I never want to watch it again for the rest of my life, is The Grudge. And I think that one succeeds on a lot of levels, partly because it does the world building of it really well. Like,
okay,
you there's this house, there's the things that go on there, and then there's the characters that interact with it, and you sort of start to understand why it all works together. And because it all works together, it makes it more interesting. And when things start going like all like super weird, you're like, oh my gosh, things are going super weird, and you kind of just like buy into it.
Yeah, and that's where I give the new Evil Dead movie personally a little bit more credit, just because they've always had, I was talking about this with another with somebody I work with, that those movies are demons for demon's sake. They're not Satan, they're not fallen angels, any of the normal stuff that we see as demons and every other thing. They're just evil things. And I think, like, creating its own myth around that, it does a fairly good job of, I feel like some of the execution of exposing that myth could have been a little bit stronger, but once they've made it, they stick with it, and that's ends up becoming one of the better, in my view, twists of the movie, is that it's they sort of figure out a way to cheat, and then they realize that they got cheated at the same time, which I think is a really strong point for any movie, anytime they can have that sort of switch, like, yes, we got it, but, oh, we forgot about that type of thing. I really like stuff like that.
Okay.
Cool. Alrighty, Caleb, we want to wrap us up?
That's S. You've been listening to Robots Attack on KSU 103.3 FM, the Santa Clara, the Underground Sound. We are Robots Attack. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSU. And if you want to interact with us in the future or contact us, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. You can find us on Twitter, Robots Attack Me. And you can find us on our own website, robotsattack.me.
That's right. All right, thanks for listening. We're here every Thursday from 7 to 9. Coming up next, definitely stick around for the pre-funk show.
Pre-funk show.
All righty. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next Thursday. Take it easy.
Raccoon. Baradin. Misto.